A reading from Acts chapter 2. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Sewell. This is the end of summer. But it's beautiful outside. It's actually, I keep thinking that. And then I also think, like, September is my favorite month of the year in the Bay Area. So we have beautiful weather ahead of us. And we have our fall kickoff this next week with our fall retreat. It should be really awesome. Here it is. It's a great chance for us to gather. And as I often say, it really turbocharges our whole all our relationships. It's a super special time. And just packed into that brief 36-hour period, you can get more than a month of Sundays. So really cool. A lot of good stuff coming up. And I've really enjoyed what we've been doing this August, which we've called hashtag Sewell, and what we've basically just been doing, really simply just trying to identify things we do really well, like spiritual gifts that we have that we embody in the church, and just encourage each other by naming those things and just appreciating and enjoying them. Really simple, but I think really powerful, and I think it's made me appreciate our community even more. And I've loved the different voices we've had in this. We've had panels sitting there up there with our legs dangling down. We've had a chance just to hear from those of you who want to speak up. And we're going to do that again today. We're going to, I'm going to open it up in just a minute. I'm going to set us up here in like 5 to 9 minutes, depending on how the Spirit moves. And then I'd just like to open it up to all of us. And of course, I have another 5 to 9 minutes if you guys are feeling shy this morning. So you could choose to hear from me, or you could choose to hear from each other, so choose wisely. But our theme this morning is hospitality. It's the biblical call for hospitality. And taking a look at that, that theme, we have this text, which is probably, I have to confess, probably one of my main go-to texts. Like, if I were to look back and look at, you know, like every preacher, every pastor has like their favorite biblical text. And so you could learn a lot about who someone is and their spirituality by which passages they keep going back to. So this is one of mine. I'm going to own it. I love this passage. It's a beautiful picture of the early church. And so we keep coming back to it because we really think that there's something of that that we can embody in this community as well. And buried in the middle of this is a phrase that I also confess that I often don't think about as much, and that is this phrase, that they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. In the middle of it all, in the middle of this quintessential picture of the fundamentals of what the best part of the church could possibly be, it's this ministry of hospitality and eating together and welcoming one another. And I think this is so important because it's really a reflection of what God does with us. That God, like the psalm said at the beginning, that God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. That God welcomes us by preparing a table for us and drawing us together. And the fundamentally beautiful thing about hospitality is that it turns strangers into family. Right? Hospitality turns strangers into family. And that's what God has done with all of us. That the scripture says that at one point we were separated from Israel, we were separated from God, that we were disconnected, and God reached out to us and brought us into God's own family and connected us with each other. And so when we break bread together, it makes strangers into family. And, you know, and it's a beautiful thing because this passage comes right after Pentecost. And so this was not a group of homogenous people that all kind of knew each other. This was not like literally family. These were people who looked at each other and would be like, I'm not sure I want to eat with you. You know, like people are looking side-eye at each other, right? I got to practice my side eye. I'm not very good at it. But they were doing it very well. And so what happened is then the Holy Spirit brought them together across race, across ethnicity, across class. And one of the ways that they were brought together is in this breaking bread together with glad and generous hearts. This process, and you know, it says here, like, day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. And so they built it. This was not like necessarily, like, Pentecost was this big deal, right? It was this like powerful, moving experience of the Holy Spirit. But that was followed up and cemented by these day-by-day experiences by breaking bread together. That is how those strangers who had that same experience of God welcoming them together, that's how they became family with each other. Does that make sense? And I think that I've learned so much just in my 4 years at this church through your ministry of hospitality to each other and among us. And so I want to focus on that this morning. And I want to ask you the question, how have you experienced, through the ministry of hospitality in this church, how have you experienced God turning us from strangers into family through that ministry of hospitality? So a very simple question. And it could be a way that you have been gifted to provide hospitality to others and how you've enjoyed that. Because one of the things I notice, being a person who does not naturally have the gift of hospitality, it actually stresses me out. When I'm hosting a party or when I'm getting things together, like, I notice that for myself, I'm pretty good at like thinking deeply and focusing on one thing over a long period of time. But when I'm like hosting something, there's a million things that need to be thought of at once. And so I just feel my brain slowly turning to jello. And then when I'm hosting a party, I'm just like worried about whether people are having a good time. And I feel like if they're not, it's all my fault. So it's not something I'm naturally good at. And I didn't come at it with my family. And so any growth that I've experienced in my own hospitality is because of you all, I have to say. Really, I came knowing absolutely nothing when I sort of came here. But what I've noticed is that those of you who offer hospitality so well, there's a sense of joy for you in it. Like, when you use your spiritual gifts, you're like, yeah, this is great. It's like, actually, even though it's hard work, it's actually a sense of joy because it's empowered by the Spirit and you know you're connecting that way. So you might want to share a way that you have enjoyed turning strangers into family yourself. Or you may want to talk about your experience of feeling like a stranger and some way that we've ministered hospitality to us, making that sort of connection. And in order to prime the pump a little bit, just to get you thinking, because it's a very subtle thing, right? Because this day-by-dayness, a lot of times it is built up, you know? Like, we're not necessarily talking about the best food I ever had was here at Seawell, although that is kind of true. But it's the way the Holy Spirit builds us up together in that process of breaking bread together and enjoying the goodness of all the amazing food we have here in Berkeley and all the amazing people who prepare it. And the way that helps us to connect. But it's a kind of subtle thing, right? It's a day-by-day thing. So I think as a community now, as we testify, it takes some thought. Like, how do we name these things? So let me just tell two stories that will kind of get us started, and then I think you'll take it from there. But two stories, one of which is in my family. It's in my actual family, in ways that God turned us who had become strangers to each other in my own family into genuinely deeper, you know, family. And then I just want to tell a really brief story just from last week. So the first story, earlier in this series, I talked about pastoral care. I talked about my own hard family. And so I want to kind of bring that up again. I'm kind of, maybe this is like a little therapy session here because I'm thinking about my own family issues. But, you know, like I mentioned before, when I was 11, my parents got divorced. It continued a long season of really difficult family time, and especially a lot of estrangement between my father and the rest of the family. But as the oldest son, sort of my father and I, like, it was a really big deal. I would say it was the biggest thing about my childhood. And even my coming to faith at 15 or 16, a lot of that was about realizing that God, this metaphor in the Bible about God being my father and actually deeply loving me, and that's just real. Like, that was a huge part of my faith and my spirituality. And, like, forgiving my father, even though there was, like, a lot of estrangement, and God sort of meeting me in that was a huge part of my faith. But when I was 25, I moved to Pasadena, where my father also lived. So here we are. I live in the same town as my dad. What am I going to do? And my dad invited me to have dinner with him once a week. I remember on Monday nights. And I was like, oh boy. All right, I'm going to do this thing. And so there commenced this couple-year period of having dinner with my dad almost every Monday night. And it was almost always he would bake a whole chicken, and he would get out a bottle of wine, and he would make something like asparagus and some kind of really good bread with just butter. That was it, every week. The whole chicken would always be there. And so we'd sit around his table, and we'd like tear apart this chicken together. Like, I don't know if we had plates, we just kind of tore it, just ate it, you know? And it was really great. It was like so simple, right? Like chicken and red wine, oh, it's really good. And to this day, like, I do owe it to my dad. The few things that I can actually cook mostly come from my dad. Like this asparagus recipe that we, anyway, it's good, right? And I would actually say, and so through the course of those meals, like I don't remember any big moment of reconciliation, to be honest. It was very much a day-by-day kind of thing. I definitely remember sometimes when like, okay, I'm gonna have dinner on Monday night, and I'm actually gonna talk to my dad about some of the hard things from when I was a teenager. And I remember having those, like, you know how you gear up for conversations? You're like, all right, when we're entering the drumstick phase, I'm gonna bring it up, I'm gonna do it. So I remember that sort of thing. And so I remember that over time, there was just a very subtle but beautiful sense of incomplete but very real reconciliation that began to settle into our relationship. And I would actually say that none of that could have happened without the hospitality. That none of that could have happened without the chicken and the wine and the asparagus and the bread. There was something in that literal meal that we shared together that enabled us to grow and to forgive and for things to sort of thaw, you know? Like, I don't, sitting down and like, you know, just one-on-one and like, now we're gonna talk. Like, I don't know, there was something about breaking bread together in which God was very present in that, and I'm really grateful for that. And then last week, again, very day by day, last week, Wes was going to do Munch Club for us, but he hurt his wrist, right? So he was incapacitated, and Charlene stepped in. And so in the midst of her own busyness and all the things in her life, she blessed our community by creating space right back there for us to spend time together afterwards. And as I was in, you know, sometimes in Munch Club, you know how you talk to like four or five people and you kind of do the Munch Club butterfly thing, you kind of bounce around. Well, last week I was in line with someone and I asked, hey, how are you doing? And he started sharing with me like pretty deep stuff about hard things that had happened in his family that week. And so we talked in line, and we found ourselves just standing and eating together. And it was a really amazing conversation, and it was a really great space of connection. And again, if Charlene had not stepped in and we said, well, we're just going to cancel Munch Club, I am convinced that that conversation would not have happened. You know, there was something about the food that allowed us to linger together, and it connects. And so sometimes even when I see Munch Club happening, I can just almost feel the Holy Spirit in the presence of these kind of conversations that are able to happen when we gather and as we break bread and as we eat our food with glad and generous hearts. So this is something essential to being Christian. And it's not an accident that our central sort of ritual, our central metaphor for faith is actually a meal. So we do this every week in the name of Jesus, and Jesus's presence is with us in the same way whenever we gather to eat together. Sometimes it's Munch Club. Sometimes it's in our homes together as our life groups start up again. Sometimes it's at a retreat when we're going to get a chance to have meals that actually we don't have to cook, which will be great. And s'mores, which will be very affordable and lots of fun. A gather around a campfire. It's going to be really good. So I'm wondering now if you have some of these similar stories, ways that you've experienced God turning strangers into family through our ministry of hospitality together. And last time we did this, people just sort of spontaneously came up. So I'm going to say, if you would like to share something, just come on up here. If you would not like to come up, then just raise your hand and I will bring you the mic. So there we go. Thank you, Nathan, for at your service.
This one is also around food. I was like, oh, Sarah and I are going to have a baby, and they're going to put together that spreadsheet and bring us food for a month. And that sounded rad, but when it actually happened, dude, you guys saved our lives. That was pretty amazing. And we met a couple who were going to take our place in the nanny share, and their baby was younger than ours, and I was like, we're bringing them dinner. And then when we were there, they ate practically, some of you have had that enchilada casserole that I've made. They ate that whole entire thing. They're like, we haven't had a real meal since this baby was born like 3 months ago. Because even though in-laws are in town or family is in town, I don't know, they didn't have the hospitality like you guys have created in this church.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to jump on kind of a story like your...
Stand up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. No. My grandfather is one of my heroes, my mother's father. And there are a lot of things about me that are definitely because of him. But when I was from the time I was in high school to my early 20s, somehow or another, our relationship had become estranged. He lived in Daly City. Of course, I was over on this side of the bay. And so I didn't really see him very often or talk to him very often. And so when I was about, 21, 23, something like, but in those years, I decided that I wanted to have a relationship with him. So I called him up and started going over to his place on Friday nights after I got off of work. And just like Gary's story, chicken played a part in this because about a block away from his house was a KFC. And so he liked their wings. And so when I would go over, I would get a bucket of wings and go over to the house, and we would sit and we would talk over these wings, in which I realized that I was not eating wings properly because I left much too much food on the bone. So now if you see me with a wing, I'm murder on a wing now, and that's because of my grandfather. Throughout that time, I learned a lot about him that I didn't know. I mean, my grandfather is kind of this larger-than-life figure. And there's a lot of mythology about him, but having those conversations with him every Friday, I got to really know who he was. I got to really know what made him happy, some of the things that he had done that he regretted, that up until that point, I was mad at him for, but then kind of understood some of the reasons behind it, so it kind of changed my perspective. But that went on for several years, up until he was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And it continued even through his battle with cancer, and I was able to see him right before he passed away. But again, it was just that idea of sitting down and knowing that every Friday or every other Friday, I was going to be going to KFC, picking up this bucket of wings. We were going to sit down and I was going to get this deep, deep relationship with my grandfather. And it never ceased being deep. I mean, I would just go over there just wanting to hang out with him, and we would always wind up getting into some deep conversation about some things about our family that I didn't know, that I'd always had questions about. And so, yeah, that was really, I think, God's way of super healing not only my relationship with him, but in a strange way, his relationship with my mother, which was another interesting situation. Yeah.
I would like to give glory to God for the hospitality of Martin and Sarah Donaldson, who have had us over to their house many times, birthday parties, but they have a special gift for inviting people to things that other people are putting on. So they will say, the city of Berkeley is holding a carnival at Cedar Rose Park, and they're going to have a climbing wall and free food and all this stuff. Would you like to come with us? Because we're going to be there at this time on a blanket. And I see people from their school and, you know, and church and all parts of their lives coming to join that. Just like super sneaky. Heads up. Also, honorable mention to Jake and Jess, who can invite me over for a game night, teach me a game, kick my ass, and make me glad I came. Love you.
You said a bad word on the recording.
No, edit it out.
Hi, my name's Sharon, and I'm going to connect to Ryan's. I've been learning some new things about hospitality, and it's because of this community, and so I'm really excited to share it with you. So my dad was a really hospitable guy, and he was a great cook, and he would invite all kinds of people, and the house would sometimes be a mess. And so that explains some things if you guys would come over to my house for a party and it's a mess. But I learned a lot of things from him. This actually connects to what I'm learning now. But this community, when I turned 30, we had a 30th birthday party and it was going to be a potluck. And I told my dad he only had to make one dish. And, of course, he brought, like, five or six, and because he didn't trust me. He said, I didn't trust that you knew how to throw a party. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. I was 30. I've gotten better. Anyway, just like Gary, you can ebb and flow. Even people who really love hospitality can feel some stress. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of times I get very myopic. Recently I thought, oh, this is a day that I would normally host something, but because of the circumstances, I wasn't going to host something, and my own, spiritual growth. But I could feel that anxiety, like, oh, and then I wanted to, bring this person, invite this person, because this person was in need, and then our community had two parties going on, mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I'll just invite them to one of these. So we went to one, which was inaccessible, not, for whatever reason. And then I said, well, I'll just go to the other one. And so I went to the other one, and it was a great time. I spent my whole afternoon with this person, and then I came home and I said to Alex, I said, is that hospitality? If you just spend time with someone and bring them somewhere else and don't host something or don't, And he's like, oh, yeah, of course. And I was thinking about, the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, and it's like, who's my neighbor? It's like expanding that to, what does it mean to be hospitable? Does it mean it has to happen in your home that you're hosting? Can it be, I bring communion to these care centers every Wednesday, and is that hospitality? Or is, I'm starting to think is things that I label as service, mm-hmm. Maybe that's hospitality, mm-hmm. It's making me think maybe in this latter end time of my life, as my ability to really host things declines, I think, wow, maybe my hospitality will actually expand, will grow if I let that definition grow as well. And so I'm really thankful for this community that is so open and likes to host things. And sometimes they're on a little bit on the, last minute side. But I think I'm going to start taking advantage of that more. And so if I'm showing up and you don't know me, that's why. And anyway, so thank you for teaching me what it means to be hospitable.
Next week, we'll talk about Sharon's new ministry of party crashing.
I can share. I feel like my brain is not very ordered.
Okay, I'm going to share this, but I feel like I'm not sure if it's going to be very linear, so I apologize ahead of time. So this is a story for those who really have a hard time accepting hospitality. So when I first came to the church, this was like maybe in the first year or two, I was living at the Hansons while they were away in Scotland, and I broke my key off in the lock of the front door, barring anybody's entry into it, including my housemates. And I was also incredibly broke at the time and in terrible debt, working in a job that was like just below poverty line. So it was like, you know, a really great situation. And all these people circled around me and basically just gave me money and stayed with me and helped me get this door fixed. And I was in the same way I am now, sort of like on the verge of tears the whole time, but it was mostly because I was humiliated. I felt really embarrassed that people were giving me money and I couldn't accomplish this on my own. Why am I so emotional? It's so irritating. Anyways, so that was that. And then I feel like upon reflection from my present day, I realize it's because it was hard for me to be in anything that wasn't reciprocal, which also made it hard to really receive all that the gospel had for me. So my ability to receive from Jesus was also very limited at that time. So fast forward to 2 years ago, I think, Chrissy and Mick get married. It's a Saturday. And then I have their car because I'm running errands for them. But they're going on their honeymoon on Monday, so I mean Tuesday, and so I still have their car on that Monday. And I think, well, I normally bike to work, but I'm going to drive the car. So I drove the car to work. There's a lot of theft and property destruction near where I live. And sure enough, when I got to the car after the day was over, the car wouldn't start. I'm going to fast forward through the story and to tell you that we later discovered it's because someone had stolen the battery out of the car. And it was like this rinky-dink old Toyota Corolla. Sorry, Chrissy. I know you love that car, but it was like really falling apart. Why would someone steal this battery? I don't know. However, I interrupted the lives of many people and inconvenienced them greatly to resolve that problem because I wasn't a car owner, so I didn't have any kind of thing. Like, I didn't have car roadside service. But I had housemates, and so I involved them. But it turns out, even though we didn't have jumper cables or anything like that, so we're like calling around, see who has jumper cables. We finally find some through Jeff, or someone tells us Tim has them. But Tim's not at home because he's watching a playoff game or something with Jeff. So we got hold of Jeff. Anyways, all these people who were involved in it. And then the thing was, is it was so much fun. The whole time, I was like totally interrupting all these people. But the sense I had the whole time was how freeing it was to be loved by so many. And I just had this moment of sort of just kind of that kind of like that one of those bursts of wisdom where you realize it's because Jesus has transformed me through my willingness to receive the hospitality of others over time, even though there's a part of me that still wants to be the person who's giving it. But receiving it is actually this profoundly transformative experience.
Hi, I'm Jane. So back in 2011, my husband and I came to this area and we didn't really know anybody. And we came to this church and we lived just a few blocks from the Reeds, like really nearby here. And we felt a lot of hospitality. You know, you guys invited us to your home. We went to your home many times. I actually think I drove to your home several times, which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, the community was, we were invited to, we went to many of your homes, and it was a time when it was hard for me. We had moved here. I had quit my job. I was trying to pass the California bar. I didn't know what to do with my life. I wasn't even sure if we were going to be staying here or not, and trying to decide on that stuff while, you know, Jason was doing, you know, his move in studying. So I think the first December is my birthday. So Bora and Susie took me out for my birthday, and I was like, that's great. And my mom called me. She's like, did you do anything for your birthday? How are things out there? I was like, well, actually, these people from my church like took me out. So I was really blessed by that and blessed by everyone's hospitality. And, you know, when my daughter was born, when my son was born, I know, you know, it's something that we do routinely here in this church, but, I mean, it's really just overwhelming hospitality because, I mean, somebody's, like, providing a meal for you, like, mm-hmm. three times a week, and the care and the love that goes into, I mean, the meals are, like, wonderful meals, you know, and a time that we're really stressed. So in all those ways, I've, there was another one I wanted to mention. But and most recently, I think Mike and Brittany have been hosting a lot for us, for our life group, and really bringing our group together, opening up their home, so.
Hi, I'm Darlene. I just want to share that sometimes you have to do hospitality for work, and I run a program that has UC Berkeley students as mentors, and they come into the middle schools and run science projects for them. But part of my requirement running this program is hosting a couple of parties for these mentors. So one of them is a happy hour at Triple Rock, which is easy. You know, we just pay for the drinks and the snacks or whatever. But the other one is a potluck that we always have at our house. And so I've been doing this for almost four years now. And so this is twice a year, twice a semester, twice a year. So four times a year, we host this like mandatory party. So I don't know if you've ever had to host a party that wasn't for your birthday or wasn't for something that you felt like doing but was like a requirement. You might not necessarily feel the like joy or the excitement per se like you would for some other sort of party. So it's scheduled in. It's literally always the last week of our program, whatever. So no matter what your mood is, I have to host this party. These are a bunch of students from UC Berkeley in all the different STEM fields, undergrads to postdocs, coming from all over the world, and it's a potluck, it's very informal, but I find that my job is not to cook, because Alex does that, but I literally just host by having conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just chatting and talking. And some of it is really small talk, like the weather in the Bay Area. And then sometimes it's like deep, you know, philosophical, mathematical questions about the universe or whatever. But what I found is that, like, my memory of these potlucks, which, if you don't believe it, I'm naturally introverted. It just seems like I'm extroverted. But I have to gear myself up for these parties as well. And so the part that scares me is the part that's the most important, which is the conversation, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to show up and what you're going to talk about. You can't plan for it. So I'm, you know, kind of like feeling introverted, don't want to do this party, but I have to. So it's like, okay, 6 o'clock, people are showing up. And then God is so good in that he has always made the conversation so fascinating, and it's never my work. It's never my preparation or my planning or whatever. The spirit just moves, and we have this kitchen counter that kind of acts as a table in our house, and just the memory of so many faces and conversations around that counter and then outside as well are just really, really fulfilling, knowing that God has his eye out for all of these students flooding into the city for all reasons. And that they connect with each other. We've become friends with a lot of them. We've had one couple start dating because they met around our kitchen counter. Yes, year and a half, and still going. I check in on them. I'm like, are you guys still together? To make sure. But I just want to say a blessing to people who are introverted and don't necessarily feel like partying all the time. That conversation, God flows through conversation in amazing ways. And it's not your own words or your own wit or whatever, but God can just do that and make that connection for you. It's very cool.
If I could close us with just by bookending what Dar just shared, I just wanted to share a brief story about many amazing feasts at Men of Valor, actually, that basically Wes put together and other people. But I like to imagine, like, part of me is like a sort of amateur sociologist, and I like to imagine like what a sociologist would think about particular human gatherings and what's going on. So as I think about like our eating together at Men of Valor with a bunch of men from a different socioeconomic background, many times a different racial background, certainly a different experience with power and the system of incarceration. And as I look at that, as I think about that group of people, and what do they have in common about sort of race or political background or cultural experience? We don't have anything in common. Literally, the only thing we have in common is that we enjoy what Wes bakes or cooks. And so we're brought together in that space, and it's really motivated in that space by this capacious desire to include and connect that the Holy Spirit gives to us. That, you know, Dar just talked about. There's this thing, and those of us who are introverts, you know, that there's something that has, there's a magic that has to happen in your soul to get you out there. And then you're glad you did. It's the Spirit including people. And, you know, look at the last phrase there. Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That God's welcome, that God's love is, it's just trying to burst to get out. And hospitality is often our vehicle for that. And so that's why I feel like I appreciate this time and these stories. And we could continue to go on. If you want it to be more like a Pentecostal church, we could go on. But, you know, we're going to stop. Because there are many more stories to be told as we continue. And I just want to encourage you to continue to say yes to that impulse to, you know, the way God has welcomed us, that God has taken us when we were strangers, he's turned us into family. And this impulse, even for those of us who, like, it's hard to keep welcoming new people. It's hard to keep, all these new people are coming to Berkeley, or like, but there's this a spiritual flow calling us to, you know, rejoice in the idea that day by day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. And that there's a place at our tables for people who are not there yet, but God has a place for them reserved. And so I just want to invite you to continue, especially to pray into that, to really take time in your week, as there's coworkers, as there's neighbors, as there's newcomers to Berkeley, to like pray for them, to pray that they would be welcomed, that they would be welcomed into God's family, and that we can take first steps by just really practically doing this thing that we already do. And so prayer ministry today, after we're done with our time in worship, as we participate in this ministry of hospitality that God gives to us, we also want to pray for each other. And so anything you have come to this meeting with, you can actually receive the blessing of somebody else. We'll create that safe space and pray for you. But I'd especially like to invite you today, if there's somebody that you want to pray for, somebody that's on your heart that is kind of a stranger now or an acquaintance kind of, but you'd like to see them become more family, like, why not take time to just pray for that and see what happens this week? I think there is a high correlation between prayer and like, oh, I just had this serendipitous experience of a deeper connection with this person, just was able to invite them over. And finally, somebody, as we were praying, the words trouble at home. If there's something back home in your hometown with your family, your extended family, there's some kind of trouble, we'd like to invite you to pray about that as well. And so you can come forward and meet prayer ministries who can pray with you. We'll pray on the stage right behind us. Let me pray for us, and we will continue in worship together. God, I thank you for all these stories. I thank you that your Spirit is dramatic and amazing, and there are sort of cataclysmic, powerful experiences of your love that we can testify to. And I thank you also for the subtle, day-by-day ways that we create space for each other and the way your Spirit gently includes us and empowers us to step out of ourselves and to connect with new people. Lord, we just want to say yes to that. We pray that you would strengthen us all. And we thank you just for the momentum. Thank you for this community that helps us learn these things and live these out together, Lord. We pray that lots more people would be able to experience the welcome that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us now to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.